This is Dom Bettinelli, the CEO of SQPN, with a brief but very important message. For more than a decade, SQPN has produced the Catholic faith and pop culture podcasts that you love. We're a nonprofit organization, so it's only your generosity that lets us carry out our mission. We haven't run a fundraiser in 2 years, and that's why we need to ask for your help right now. Please make a pledge of whatever amount you can afford to help us continue providing your favorite podcasts, as well as exciting new ones we have planned. To make your pledge and find out about the free thank you gifts we'd like to send you, visit sqpn.com/give. That's sqpn.com/give. Thank you for your generosity. May we hear from you today?
You're listening to Let's Talk, episode number 27.
Hi, this is Dom Bettinelli. I'm filling in for Father Corey Stika, who is away with his parents, visiting with his parents this holiday weekend as we record this. And so you've got me, and you're listening to Let's Talk, the SQPN community podcast, in which we discuss the topics that interest you with the fun and interesting people that are part of the SQPN community. Today, our topic is Advent and preparing for Christmas. We've just passed the Sunday, which is Christ the King Sunday, which means the next Sunday is, if you can believe it already, the first Sunday of Advent. And joining me today on the panel to discuss preparing for Advent and preparing for Christmas are Father Michael Gossett. Hi, Father Michael.
Hi, Dom. Thanks for having me.
And Mike Creevy. I'm going to be doing this the whole episode. And Mike Creevy. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Dom. How you doing?
Good, thanks. So, as you can tell, folks, we have two Michaels with us today. Luckily, one is a Father Michael, and I can distinguish between them that way. But but you're both first-time guests on Let's Talk. Father Michael has been on Secrets of Movies and TV Shows, several episodes, including several we've done on the Jurassic Park series, and there's several more of those to do, so lots of dinosaur fun in the future. But Mike Creevy, Mike, is your first time with us on SQPN altogether.
Yes.
Can you introduce yourself a little bit and tell us a little about yourself?
Well, it all started 35 years ago. No, I'll give you the Cliff's Notes version.
This is a 45-minute podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. I'm from the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area. My background's mostly in youth ministry, and I've been teaching Catholic theology in a high school up near Penn State last couple years. And we just moved back after my wife finished her PhD to be closer to our families. And so I do some radio and some podcasting on the side. And I'm just really delighted to be here today.
Excellent. And you have a podcast that you're doing right now? What's it called?
I do. Yeah. So I do a radio program last couple of years. It's a youth and young adult themed radio show for our local Catholic station called Ever Ancient, Ever New. It's kind of topical. And then I do a show called The Gracious Guest, which is a whole other sort of side ministry I do, where I do some faith and culture engagement, that kind of thing. So that's how I came across SQPN too, through those same interests, I think.
Cool. And folks, yeah, give it a check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes, and you'll be interested in especially our audience will be interested in that podcast. So go check it out. Let us know. Let Mike know what you think, and become a subscriber. That'd be great. And Father Michael, for our audience who doesn't know you, you're a little west of Mike. Out there in Pennsylvania, or actually just to the west of Pennsylvania. I should be very accurate because I know exactly where you are. can you tell the audience a little about yourself?
Yeah, I'm a diocesan priest of the Diocese of Steubenville, Ohio.
Woo-hoo!
And I'm based, absolutely, I'm based kind of right near Steubenville. I'm a vocation director, a high school chaplain, and I'm in a parish. So all the different aspects of the priesthood right now.
Excellent. Yes, as longtime listeners know, I am an alum of Franciscan University of Steubenville. So I'm
soon to be too. By the way, I just finished my coursework for my master's, so I got my comps in January. So prayers, please.
Oh yes, Father Chip Hines. This episode is for you, Father Chip. And I have done radio and podcasts for years together, and he went to Ithaca in upstate New York. And we always joke about how, no matter what, whenever we're doing a show, something about Steubenville comes up, and so it's we're good Catholics.
All
so we
roads
call it,
lead here.
Yeah, yep. We call it the Steubenville drinking game. So, Father Chip, don't listen to this because it'll be bad scene after that. So, guys, how was your Thanksgiving? Mike, what did you do for Thanksgiving this past week?
Well, it started with my whole family being sick, which was unfortunate, but we sort of have gotten it out of the way, I guess. But and we basically we're still trying to figure out family traditions now. I've been married for 3 years. Our daughter's coming up on 2 years old. So we're sometimes try to get, you know, two Thanksgiving meals in, which borders on gluttony. But it's fun. So
it takes a little while to figure that out. I know you feel. How about you, Father Michael? How was your Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was a good Thanksgiving. My parents live right here, so I'm about 10 minutes from my parents' house.
Oh, nice.
My mom's whole side of the family comes, so it's really a great family event. My brother's a priest for this diocese, too, so he comes in. We have Mass at the house dinner, and, play music afterwards. So, yeah, I love it. It's one of my favorite family events.
That's awesome. Yeah, so for myself, we've kind of figured out, so I've been married for, do the math, like 13 years. And we've kind of figured out a pattern, a rhythm, where we've decided we do Thanksgiving at my house, my wife and I, and our five. It's easier for us because my youngest has some food allergies, and it's just easier to kind of impose all that on the rest of the family. They're not bad. I mean, there's unusual ones she's allergic to. Let's see, dairy, wheat, corn, eggs, and nuts, most nuts. The corn one is the weird one, and it's corns in everything. So,
poor kid.
Yeah, I mean she's really good about it, and we've come up with a lot of recipes for her. Her dessert, like for example, on Thanksgiving was pumpkin muffins that are corn and dairy and egg free. Although we can now bake in egg and dairy, the doctor said.
Okay.
So we're hoping that she's going to come out of the allergies anyway. What that means is we have Thanksgiving here at my house. We make the turkey and stuff. We're an ecumenical household, so my wife has her stuffing recipe, and I do my turkey recipe, and it works out well. I've compromised. We've decided that the stuffing doesn't have sausage in it. So. Do you guys have anything like that? Any particular recipes that for Thanksgiving dinner that are particularly yours? Like you want to see on the table every year?
Well, my mother-in-law does, and I don't know that she invented this, but she does stuffing in. They do it in the turkey, but then they also do it in like muffin pans.
Oh wow!
Which is awesome because then then you get like these individual portion, kind of stuffing muffins, which is pretty awesome. So that's pretty good.
That's a cool idea.
Great.
Yeah.
Yep.
One thing my wife does is she saves up like ends of bread over the year, like bagels and loaves, loaves of bread from the market, like when you buy the nice loaves and stuff like that, all in the freezer. And then a couple times a year, like she'll do like bread pudding, but around Thanksgiving, she pulls it all out and she makes, stuffing with it. And so you have little bits of challah and bagel and multigrain, and it's all these different textures in there, but it's all brought together by the broth and the other spices and stuff. So that's it's really good. How about you, Father Michael? Any special dishes that you like at Thanksgiving?
It's pretty typical American Thanksgiving at our house, but my aunt makes an amazing, like a sweet potato thing, and there's nuts, and it's a lot of sugar, but it's the best. I'll eat that all year if I could. So I always look forward to that.
It's probably a good thing that Thanksgiving is only once a year. So that's the holiday of the past. We've just had that holiday, but of course, Thanksgiving, in America, it marks the beginning of the Christmas season. But of course, as Catholics, we know that we're not quite at the Christmas season. We've got a whole season in between, the Advent season. So we wanted to talk today about Advent and preparing for Advent, and then how Advent prepares us for Christmas. So, I just kind of like to go around and talk about, like, what is Advent for you personally, and from a spiritual sense, and from just even just the preparing for Christmas sort of idea. What does Advent mean to you, Mike? Can we start with you?
Sure. Yeah, you know, it's the line that always comes to my mind every time of year that we get here, I think, more and more is, you know, that line that we always hear in the Mass about, you know, as we wait in joyful hope. And that's something I try to really focus on, the idea of the season of hope and of anticipation, something that I don't always do the best with. And right. But, you know, so I think just overall, I suppose it's a lot of times, I think just a very practical kind of you know, wrestling match in my own sort of experience with trying to deliberately maintain that and sort of build up that anticipation for Christmas, while of course the culture is not really on the same wavelength with
right.
that. So I think that's, in a nutshell, I try to focus on hope and preparing, you know, for Christ.
Yeah, that's a great you know, attitude is the idea, the sense of hope. Hopeful and looking forward to something, often, I think you allude to, often in our culture, we don't like to wait for or look forward to something. We want it now. Right. And so a season of preparation just doesn't seem to mesh with the way our society works right now.
Right.
How about you, Father Michael, especially as a parish priest, besides all the work that uh-huh. Advent entails, how is Advent for you both personally, but also pastorally?
Well, I would say it's probably my favorite liturgical season. I think it's really underrated. It's short. It really coincides nicely with kind of the days are darker. We're getting into real winter and just the weather changes. And I think, kind of like you said, Mike, just anticipation is such a powerful feeling throughout it. And I love the music personally. I love the kind of like buildup of decorations. That's definitely something we do. And I'm sure we'll talk about this more, but kind of like you decorate some things, but you don't get it all out. And it sort of builds and builds and builds, which like you guys said, it's just something we don't do as a culture, is really anticipate well. And I would say that's the word that really defines it for me. And I guess I compare it to Lent, and you said like Advent is a lot of work. Lent is way more work for a priest. And so Advent is kind of this nice compact season where you could really dive into it and maybe not be overwhelmed in the same way that Lent does, as you're getting ready to bring people into the church and all these beautiful things. But it's a little more, it's slower, it's quieter. And I think those are the things that stand out for me with this season, that it just works well with the time of year. It's like a time to stop and take it in, and kind of as you build up towards Christmas.
You know, one thing you said, talking about like how as we get, the days get shorter as we get closer to Christmas. One of these years, I want to have on the podcast someone from the Southern Hemisphere to talk about what it's like, mm-hmm. especially like to have Advent in spring and Lent in fall. Yeah, I mean, just that idea of the reversal. I mean, so much of our spirituality is built around this Northern Hemisphere attitude toward the seasons. I'd love to kind of get that opposite perspective to see. And you also said anticipation, which brings to mind something that those of you who are near Western Pennsylvania will get, is that old Heinz commercial, the Heinz ketchup commercial, which again, showing my age, anticipation, as you are waiting for that. We're not a culture of anticipation. Very, very good. So, you know, one thing that I think people often wonder or think about is how do I spend my Advent fruitfully preparing for Christmas? There are lots of things out there, and there's some traditions, we can get into all of them. There are some church things we can do, and then there are things we can do at home as well. One of the things, and maybe you guys can have some ideas, but I'll start with one of mine, is one of the things I like to do is listen to Advent music. One of the big running jokes is, you know, as soon as Halloween is done, the radio stations switch to Christmas music, you know, I mean, and hey, I love Christmas music. I will listen to Christmas music year round. In fact, one of my previous pastors had said that we should listen to Christmas music all year, because
and the real Christmas music, not just Santa Baby. because we are a Christmas and Easter people, you know, we anticipate the coming of Christ as a child and then as in return as in glory. But Advent music, there is a lot of good Advent music. Do you guys have any particular Advent music that you like that stands out to you? Besides O Come Emmanuel?
that's the one I was going to say. But yeah. And I think even secularly, I guess you could say too. I mean, even some of the songs like, Santa Claus is coming to town. Like even there's, yeah. I don't know, sometimes I try to rescue a little bit of, there's still some anticipation there. You know, there's still some,
right.
like the forward thinking. But yeah, I must admit that, the Advent music, being a thing, I mean, that's relatively new to me, as far as starting to get a little more familiar with some of those songs. So that's something I'm still kind of growing in and trying to get like separate playlists, to prepare for that music wise. So that's something I'm still growing in, I think.
Well, maybe we can come up with some suggestions, in this episode, because I've actually got an Advent playlist my wife and I have put together of 66 songs, but. Before we get to Father Michael, do you have some particularly Advent?
I made a short list, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, O Come, O Come Emmanuel is overplayed but beautiful.
Yes.
But People Look East is a favorite of mine.
Oh, yeah.
O Come, Divine Messiah, on Jordan's Bank.
Any others?
So there's a good selection.
Looks like Father might have frozen. You still there?
There I am.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good. All right. So People Look East was the last one you said.
Oh, okay. O Come Divine Messiah on Jordan's Bank. There's a lot of very specific Advent songs, and I think that's such a great thing. I was actually just looking up on my computer. There's a religious order, the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles, have an Advent album, and it's much more, there's lots of Latin hymns and older stuff, but that's pretty fantastic that I recommend.
One that gets overlooked, I think, sometimes too, is Ave Maria and all of its manifestations, because that's such a preparation, of course, in a very practical way. So that's a great one too of any of the arrangements.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. We have our Advent playlist consists of mostly a couple of different Advent albums and then some individual songs. But I'll put some links in the show notes. But there's one album from the choir of all it's a couple of different choirs, but the album is called Advent Promise. So it includes the Choir of All Saints, the Oregon Bach Festival Choir, London Fox Players, the Scottish Festival Singers, and it's got things like Bethlehem of Noblest Cities and the Basque Carol, which is also called the Angel Gabriel, and Wake with Tidings Thrilling, which is from Bach, and then other music, Adam Lay, E. Bounden. So some of these old Middle English, medieval hymns are nice. One of my favorites, In the Bleak Midwinter, is one of my favorites, Advent and Christmas. Especially this one from YouTube. I'll see if I can find the link for that. That is from Gloucester Cathedral at their Midnight Mass with the children's choir. And then the whole congregation sings it. And it's so beautiful and moving. I just love it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And then there's an American religious community of brothers called the Brotherhood of Hope, who are they do a lot. Their specialty is college ministry, and they're located here in Boston and in Gainesville, Florida. I think the University of Florida.
Yeah.
And They have an album that they did called A Season of Hope, Rediscovering Our Advent Heritage, and we listened to that as well. Advent at Ephesus is an album by the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles.
Yes. Yeah, I have that one. Yep.
Yeah, that's really nice. And trying to think, there is another album, which is a group, one of whose members is a friend of my wife. The group is called Sister Sinjin, S-I-N-J-I-N, and they have the album is called Incarnation, and they have a number of songs related to Advent. So I'll put some links in the show notes for folks if they want to find that and just kind of get some of that wonderful Advent music beyond "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel."
Well, I just remembered too, Dom. I think that there's a. I'll have to send you the link if I can find it. But I'm pretty sure that the I was in seminary for 1 year about 10 years ago at Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg, and I wasn't involved with this. It was sort of before and after my time. But the Vespers Schola there has done a couple albums. I think you can get them on iTunes and stuff. But I think they did an Advent and Christmas album at some point that I have that's really good as well. But I'll see if I can get you that link. Yeah, that's a good
definitely.
One.
Yeah, well,
they
put that in there.
Ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So, well, that's one way to, you know, to make Advent fruitful is to play the music. And we do that oftentimes. We'll play music during when we're preparing for dinner, you know, cooking in the kitchen. We'll play it over the either the Echo or the AirPlay, whichever one decides to work tonight. And technology, it's a hassle. Don't deal with it. So we do that. One thing we do all year round is we listen to the Liturgy of the Hours. SQPN has the PrayStation Portable Divine Office podcast, which, of course, I recommend to folks to subscribe to that if you go to sqpn.com. And pray, you know, listen. Like, my wife plays it throughout the day, you know, while she's, you know, preparing breakfast or dinner or just, you know, doing other things around the house. Office of readings, morning prayer, evening prayer. And it's a nice way. We've always done that. And all of our kids know all the responses just sort of by heart. And they learn them like at 2, 3, and 4 years old. They learn the responses.
That's awesome.
And it's a wonderful way to make prayer just a part of your day and part of your life. So that's one.
Yeah.
Do you guys, I mean, obviously you guys put, are familiar with the Advent wreath. Do you have an Advent wreath? Obviously you have one in church. Do you have one do you set one up at home at all? Or
I don't personally,
since I have the one in church.
I got the one at the high school. I feel like I've saturated with Advent wreaths, but, a lot of family friends, I know it's such a great thing for kids to be involved in that. It's not just a thing that sits on your shelf, but they get to do it. They usually put some kind of prayer that goes with it. Have the kids, depending on their age, of course, help light the candle and
yes,
things like that. And I think it's a great practice that really practically shows we're moving and we're moving through the season.
Excellent. Yeah, that's one thing we do. We put it on our dining room table and light it before dinner, sing a verse of "O Come, Emmanuel," and have a prayer. Which the kids all love. The fire at the table.
Well, and I think we're hopefully, you know, and our daughter's name, by the way, is Noel. She's a December 5th baby, so she's always in Advent.
Awesome.
So, and I have this chart from Father Felix Yust, you know, CatholicResources.org, and has a lot of great material. He has this great Advent chart that helped me as a teacher to explain to my students why. Like, what, it was 2 years ago, you know, we had the longest that Advent can be, followed by the shortest it can be.
Right,
you know, like
right,
I was
right.
Showing them, like, how that works. And at the time, it was funny, because our daughter was a year old last year. You know, the first Christmas, she was just in her bassinet, you know, and everything. She was only a few weeks old. Last year was like, I'm going to eat everything I can touch phase. So there wasn't a whole lot of interaction with the Advent wreath with her, you know. So this year, I think she's, you know, I think she's old enough, obviously, not to be left alone with it, but also I think she can be more involved, and so we're excited to have her partake in that whole tradition. So yeah, and the wreath is great.
That actually reminds me of a story. I dated this girl years ago, and her nephew was autistic, and her parents had gone out for the night, and they had a babysitter. And he knew where the Advent wreath was, and he had got it down. It was like on top of the fridge, and lit the candles and set the wreath on fire, which the babysitter had to call the, you know, fire department. And she actually was really, really good. She actually was given an award from the town for her clear thinking and bravery. I mean, they were very blessed and lucky. They got the fire and all this stuff. But the local paper came because they wanted to do a story about the babysitter, and the reporter, obviously clueless about anything Catholic, and he's like, "So what's this fire ritual that you do?" Yes, we're Catholics. We have fire rituals.
It sounds like some witchcraft thing or something.
So that's Mike. You said your daughter's birthday is December 5th.
Yep.
Now, and again, you said she's very young, so you probably haven't been able to celebrate it very often. But do you do anything special for St. Nicholas Day, which is the 6th, or have you thought about it?
Not yet. And that's something, too, that I've, you know, learned more about over the years that, you know, it wasn't really my family, by the way. You know, it's you know, we're Catholic, but sort of the extended family that we were sort of within growing up was mostly Protestant. My paternal grandmother and sort of her family. So my grandfather was Catholic, but he had moved away from the Scranton area, you know, down to the Harrisburg area. So most of the influences we had growing up around Christmas and that sort of thing weren't, you know, we did Advent, but like they didn't really do that. They didn't really have those Saint feast days and stuff. So a lot of that stuff I've only really learned about in the last, you know, 15 or 20 years, you know, as I've really grown in my faith. So I think we'll definitely start considering, you know, Saint Nicholas more, especially because for some reason she loves little Dutch shoes.
Oh, you know, like,
Father Roderick might like to know that.
Yes,
yeah. My parents have some souvenir ones I got years ago, and she loves to put them on and walk around. And so maybe we can incorporate that soon.
Well, and that's the thing is that St. Nicholas is a big feast day in Europe, especially, and that's when kids get presents. We never did that when I was a kid. And that, like you, it was as an adult that I've started to learn some of these things. So we've started celebrating St. Nicholas Day, where the kids put out their shoes by a non-working fireplace. We live in New England. You're supposed to have a working fireplace, but never mind. We have a non-working fireplace. But they put out their shoes, and St. Nicholas will bring them the chocolate coins, which apparently he still has a source for, but are really hard to find these days.
Oh, yeah.
So, so the chocolate coins. But also, socks are a great, like, beginning of Advent, like nice warm woolen socks or that sort of thing. But also like a holy card and a religious ornament. So I don't know where St. Nicholas gets his from, but I know a great source is, I'm going to have to find the link and put it in the show notes, but it's Aquinas and More is where we've often looked to for the ornaments, and I'm guessing that St. Nicholas gets his there as well. But Aquinas and More, I'll put a link in the show notes. Aquinas and More.com. A friend of mine owns that business, which is a great business. But even like if you go on Etsy and look for Catholic things, which brings to mind, we're gonna do an episode of Let's Talk where we talk about cool Catholic Christmas gifts from that have a Catholic theme or from Catholic people, like small producers, like crafts people and artistic people.
Awesome.
Who are, a lot of them are on Etsy. So we're going to do a show the next couple of weeks on that. But so we like to do so. We really welcome when St. Nicholas brings the ornaments for the kids. And because we've done it over the years, our tree has transitioned from generic bulbs and things that we bought when we were first married to being much more personalized at Christmas, which is nice.
That's really special.
Yeah.
We never did that at home when I was growing up, but going to Catholic grade schools, St. Nick Day was a big thing. And we would bring an extra pair of shoes with us that day, and they would sit out in the hallway and some teacher would dress up. I even got to be St. Nicholas at something as a chaplain. So it's nice see that even outside of the home.
That reminds me when I was a kid, my dad worked for the big defense contractor Raytheon for many years, and they're headquartered here in Massachusetts. And my dad did this thing with the local union where a bunch of them would go to the local hospitals, to the children's wards at Christmas time, dressed as Santa and the elves. And my dad would dress up as Santa. And one year they did a big full page ad in the paper, which he didn't tell us about. A full page ad in the newspaper, and I'm going through the paper one day, and I look it up, and there's a full page ad of my dad as Santa, and it says Domenico Bettinelli is coming to town. And I'm like, am I being pranked here? is this a joke?
That's I don't know if you guys saw that the St. John the 23rd movie with I just lost it. Ed Asner that came out like 10 years ago or so.
Oh yeah,
and he goes into the children's ward, and he has I don't know if it was a just whatever particular papal regalia he was wearing. There was a lot of red. And he goes in and, you know, the nuns are all getting the kids ready, you know, like very austere and everything. Like, here comes the Holy Father. And this one kid just starts yelling out, Santa Claus. And of course, the nun is horrified. But you know, Pope John's like, you know, that's right. You know, he just goes over the sweep.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So, now Advent is a time for, of course, spiritual preparation. You know, this kind of like Lent, you have missions and penance services and stuff like this. But they often have like a different feel in Advent. Father, do you do a particular Advent paraliturgical services in you know, during December?
Well, I would say, like you mentioned, confessions is a big one. And so at the high school where I work, we have an Advent penance service that's kind of a just like the Lenten one, but just a different sort of feel. Not in this parish, but I know some other parishes locally, like lessons and carols, that sort of thing of songs and readings is really a beautiful tradition. I think those are the big Advent ones. It is a simpler, we don't have an, you know, Advent Stations of the Cross equivalent or anything like that. But just kind of small things. It seems to be a season geared more towards almost like personal devotion than communal devotion. There's a lot of different things you can do. I know a lot of people, and I recommend it, is the Magnificat Advent Companion. They put out a little book specifically for the season and with great readings and prayer and things like that. That's a really powerful one. I always tell people not to overthink it. Just do some things that you know you will do that make a difference and stick with it. Even if you miss a day or two, I don't think the Lord minds. He wants us to just keep coming back.
Right. That's a really good point. That's an excellent suggestion. Mike, how about any particular liturgical, paraliturgical stuff for you?
Well, to echo a lot of what Father said too. I mean, now this year I'm you know, with us just moving back at the end of the summer, and I'm sort of in transition, trying to get back in the into a high school around here. Hopefully for next school year or sooner if someone retires or something. But we did a lot of the same sort of, you know, stuff. Those, especially with, you know, school letting out, you know, relatively. It depended on what, you know, where Christmas, of course, falls in that week. But, you know, sometimes we'd have almost a week or at least a couple of days before Christmas that school would let out. So we were doing a lot of that in early December, you know, with our penance service as well. And we were always finding ways to incorporate, you know, Advent into our lessons in our theology classes, whatever the topic was. And one thing that I don't want to say I started it because I don't want to assume no one else has done this quite the same way, but I haven't seen anything quite like it. I kind of developed, I guess it's sort of a shameless plug, so people can check it out on my website later. But on my blog, probably 5 years ago, and I've tweaked it here and there. I was thinking a lot about you know, salvation history, and I was really into, you know, at the time, especially I was getting into Jeff Cavin's, you know, Great Adventure, you know, approach to really sort of seeing the narrative thread of the Old Testament, and that led me to kind of starting with the first Sunday of Advent. I created very short, I mean, super short. Reflections for every day in Advent that basically start with creation and then go all the way up to, you know, Christmas Day itself. And it's like a little, you know, brief, like a verse or two from somewhere in the Old Testament, you know, a little sort of reflection on that. And then a little hint at how that's pointing us toward, you know, the birth of Christ. And then a little prayer at the end of it. It's that little three part, you know, thing. And, you know, it fits on Twitter. You know, like, so it's, you know, there's a lot of great Advent resources out there that I've always loved over the years. I think, I want to say it's, I don't have it in front of me. I want to say Liguori Publications has a whole series like Advent with Fulton Sheen or Advent with Padre Pio, you know, like there's a lot of those that are so great. But I kind of wanted to just do something even shorter and very power packed that kind of specifically went through the timeline in a sense, or key moments in salvation history that sort of like preview, you know, the birth of Christ. So that's something I really enjoyed doing. And we have a little Advent calendar we made. I know Father said don't complicate it, but I tried real hard. I'm going to find a simpler version of it, but it had little drawers that came out, and there were little things like I cut out little symbolic things and stuff. And so it's kind of, I want to find a simpler way to do it because there's a lot involved in it, but you kind of pin them to this cork board and it sort of like creates the story like as you go, which is just kind of cool too. So fun stuff like that we've tried out.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned advent calendars. Those are a great opportunity. Now, there's all kinds of advent calendars nowadays. It's actually funny. There are Lego advent calendars and cheese advent calendars, which actually is, I have to get one of those. Even whiskey advent calendars, which again, is very interesting to me, but not one I'd use with the kids. But you could have, like we usually will get an advent calendar that's just the very simple, traditional, you pop open the door and we've in the past we've done like, okay, we need four or five of them now because they get all, I want to be the one that opens the door today and it's my turn. So that can become an issue. But the idea of a little something every day is not a bad idea, you know, sort of that advent calendar sort of thing. In fact, Busted Halo, the Busted Halo podcast, those guys, they've had an advent calendar every year. And theirs is kind of a pop culture advent calendar. I'll put a link in the show notes. They have their new one
about
up
that,
already.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they have a little video, what's, you know, Advent in 2 minutes and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But they also have like something for each day. So like December 2nd will be the first day of Advent this year. And I'm not even sure who that picture is of, but they have other ones. Like they have, you know, they have Pope John, you know, Saint Pope John Paul. They have Jimmy Carter.
Right.
In one. I'd be kind of curious what that is. Amelia Earhart, Charlie Brown, you know, various like famous people or not so famous people. And each one has a particular reflection behind it. And it kind of draws you in like, oh, yeah. There's one is Sean Bean from Game of Thrones. You know, winter is coming. It's on December 21st, which is the winter solstice. So that makes sense. But
nice.
They're very clever in connecting the pop culture things to the faith related. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. We're going to have lots of great resources for you here, folks. Let me just make sure I do that. And then, so advent calendar is a great one. One of the things.
It's so interesting.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's so interesting how those have taken on in the popular culture that for people that really don't celebrate Advent, a lot of people are into advent calendars. It just surprised me with the whiskey ones and the everything. It's everywhere for some reason.
It sort of came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, like, is it just me or like my memory of this in the last 5 years or so is I vividly remember because my wife and I, like before we got married, you know, one of the first traditions we really started was we'd sort of take a little trip together, you know, like rent, you know, some place or like a little cabin or something. And we would like we had like what started as a little bit of Christmas decorations, which gotten a little out of hand already. But we would take that and we'd actually like go and like put it up and have our own little Christmas place, which was just kind of cool. And around that time, I remember we tried to find an advent calendar. We were getting married that September, and we thought, hey, we'll get an advent calendar. We couldn't find one anywhere. And now I feel like, you know, Home Goods, Michaels, you know, like Walmart, like everybody, you know, seems to have some version of them now. I don't know.
I think it came out of Europe where the advent calendar tied to a particular sort of product a day, which I mean, if you want to take the negative view, it's more consumerism. Okay, I suppose it's a little bit of that. But the positive view is, here's something that's kind of uniquely Catholic that it's an open door. It's a, how does Sherry Waddell put it in her intentional discipleship? It's their thresholds of trust where we can approach someone and who's doing this and say, hey, you know what advent calendars are really about, or you know, you're celebrating advent, and it's an open door or an invitation. So that it's not always bad. I mean, what was it, Father Roderick a few years ago had the Star Wars Lego advent calendar, which was so much fun. He was opening that every day and that sort of thing.
It even teaches anticipation, like we talked about not having anticipation in our culture, but just to practice it in a really simple way is great.
You can wait a day to get something.
Yeah.
I think there's a little, like, you know, maybe I'm wrong on this, but a little distinction. I jotted this down so I wouldn't forget, you know, but as far as the anticipation, I think there's, you know, in one sense you can have like the childlike impatience of like, you know, the Christmas season. I mean, I'm the kid, I'm dating myself a little. You guys mentioned Jurassic Park earlier. I vividly remember like my parents, for a couple of years at least, they would get like a really tall Christmas tree. And my parents' house has like this big cathedral ceiling when you walk in, and they would put up like two sawhorses with like a plywood, like 4x4 plywood on it to make a platform, and then put like drapery over it and make this nice thing. And the tree was rising up out of that. And they thought they could hide presents under that at first, you know, and I, it was like when the first Jurassic Park first came out, and I'm 34 now, so I was, you know, what, like 8 or 9 or something then. And I remember like sneaking under, like secretly sneaking under there and like peeling. And I was very deliberate. Like I peeled back the corner, you know, so I could see if it was like the T-Rex with dino damage, you know, which it was. But that, I mean, there's that kind of like, it's, you know, Psalm 13, you know, how long, O Lord, you know, like this, it's this, there's this mm-hmm. lament, but it's also, you know, anticipation and there's trust versus mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, remember in John's gospel when they come up kind of pridefully, like, how long will you keep us in suspense already? You know, and there's that,
right.
There's that pushy kind of, you know, like I'm going to dictate to God how I want it to be or what I'm expecting in my Messiah, all that kind of stuff that we see in scripture that was going on. But I feel like, I know I certainly still run into that too, you know, so am I kind of trying to make Christmas or Advent and Christmas what I think it should be? Or am I more receptive, like an eager kid, you know, mm-hmm. to sort of receive what the graces are that he's trying to give me, you know? So I think that's a big thing for me too, I notice.
That's a good distinction between there's an anticipation of desire of just the joy of waiting to get something that you know is coming, like a mother anticipating the birth of her child. I mean, that sort of that anticipation. I know at some point that eventually becomes, okay, I just want it over with and anticipation of just get it done or just I want it now. And that is another kind of like the sort of the flip side of it is the, like, I don't want to wait. I'm not interested in your timing. I just want what I want. It's more of an appetite as opposed to a passion in a sense, a desire mm-hmm. for the good of a thing. And then it kind of taints it a little bit sometimes. And that's a tension I think in us. It's one of the reasons I think why we you know, the training in habits or training in virtue, training ourselves to be able to wait joyfully for a thing, to fast. I mean, we fast not because we're going to starve ourselves to death. We fast because we're learning to anticipate something good coming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, because there's that meal at the end, which is going to be so good. So that's a great point, Mike. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
one other thing I want to suggest, sort of as a Advent resource, is a book by Pope Benedict XVI, Jesus of Nazareth: The Infancy Narratives, which he writes he's so brilliant, but he writes so clearly. So we actually read a little bit of this. We try to read a little bit of this at dinner every night. In Advent, that doesn't always work out because of various things, but we've been trying for years now. We're, I think it's been like 3 years and we're like in the third chapter, but nevertheless, you know, a paragraph or two of this, it creates conversation. And especially as the kids have gotten older, the conversation gets a little even more in depth and interesting. So, you know, or even just to read on your own as Advent reading, that's certainly a nice suggestion from me on that.
Mm-hmm.
So now one thing we have, prayer, fasting, and then there's almsgiving, which are, you know, the three pillars. We talk about that in Lent, but we could do that in Advent as well. Advent is often a time to serve others. We think we begin to think of giving, but there are probably opportunities to serve. Now the classic one people think of is, oh, I'm going to go to a soup kitchen and I'm going to serve food to the homeless, which is great. I'm not going to put that down. Although often I hear from people who, you know, worked in soup kitchens, like, we love having you here. Can you come back in March or July too? They need help year round. But can you, I mean, are there any opportunities to serve others that come up in your mind that might be good ideas for people? I've tried to think of some that I've done in the past. I mean, if you've got anything, I've got one or two.
Well, because I'm thinking, you know, I was going to say when you were talking about, you know, of course, under the sort of umbrella of almsgiving in a sense, you know, I was, first thing I thought was, you know, great, this is a great chance for me to showcase how generous I am. No, that's not, because that's certainly a big struggle. I know, for all of us to always, you know, like, am I giving enough and you know, the proverbial time, talent, and treasure, like not just of my stuff, but of myself. And that's an area I know I can certainly grow in. One thing my wife and I have started to do is, a lot of times what we do is, it's, there's some practical benefits to it, but we've started in terms of our, like with our giving, like in the parish, then our other, you know, giving where we're sort of save that up in a fund throughout the year. And we sort of discern or try to discern each year, you know, if there's something of particular urgency or interest or local, whatever it might be, local or world or worldwide, to kind of give, to give that sort of at the end of the year in December. It's in, it's in, you know, in Advent, we kind of spiritually tie it to that, that, you know, preparing our hearts for Christ by sort of showing that generosity. So that's something that we try to do. And then I think in as far as just around, you know, our area here in terms of our time and everything, I know one thing our parish is trying to do right now this year is Christmas caroling, you know, or Advent / Christmas caroling kind of, you know, right before Christmas in the local community, especially for anyone who's like homebound, you know, people who can't get out, it's, or it's too cold. Like they may not be, you know, incapacitated per se, but you know, it's joints freezing up and, you know, it's, it's that time of year where a lot of people might be homebound and might just be forgotten about. And that's especially lonely, I think, in the holidays.
That's a great idea. And even in, like, so the parishes or ministries or other groups that you're part of might do organized things like that. But even if you know someone in your own life individually, to, you know, who may be hurting, like maybe alone, they might have lost someone this past year. They always talk about how, you know, the Christmas time is a time when people particularly feel those losses, to reach out to folks. It's really hard when you're an introvert, you know, you know, and you're kind of shy in public. I know people like that, and it can be hard to kind of reach out to people. But, you know, it's worthwhile if you can do something. You know, bake
and go with a group.
Go with a group is a great one.
Yeah.
Yep. But also to, and maybe even just come up with an excuse like, hey, I made these cookies or dessert or something.
Right.
And I wanted to share some with you and be that opportunity. I haven't been great at that in the past myself, I'll admit, because I have that social barrier to get over for myself. it'd be hard. I think it'd be, some people might be surprised given, you know, I do podcasting for a living, but but it's that one that face to face social, you know, anxiety that can sometimes, especially nowadays, I think is very prevalent.
Sure.
Other opportunities to serve, anything that comes to mind?
Just to echo, I think that reaching out to people is a huge thing, and it's not necessarily like we kind of have stereotypical things like these are the people we need to visit or see, but I think there are people in our lives that suffer and are alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think cookies or something like that are such a great introduction. It's like it's an easy pass in the door, and it could be people in your neighborhood, people in your job or your school where, you know, like they're not doing good. And just that small little act of love is huge. The other one I think of that we do locally is, and it ties in with the weather of the season, is that like homeless people, it's getting cold, donating blankets and coats. And I know around in Steubenville, there's a warming center for when it gets particularly cold that they can spend time in. And just like, that's a huge deal, or gloves or socks that it's timely, that it's not like they need help all year, but right now as it gets cold, that's a really powerful thing that you can do for somebody to keep them warm in the winter.
Right. Yeah, I've actually seen some like youth groups where they, or like scout troops, where they get together care packages for the homeless, where there'll be socks and gloves and hats, just warm socks and gloves and hats, and then they'll either take them to a place, like older kids would be better for the one-on-one, where they'll go out and give them to people one-on-one, or the younger kids will bring them to a place that distributes them, I've even seen some on social media, like some people where they'll go out, if you have a particularly a homeless population, you live in a city, go out and leave coats with a note on them. You know, take this coat if you're cold, or a blanket, blanket if you're cold. Where it's just reaching out to people who might not even go to one of these places. And there are opportunities out there. One of the things I was thinking about was, you know, we talk about reaching out to people in our lives. If you have a relationship with someone that's broken, you know, where, you know, there's history or something, this is also a good time to to go and fix that, to repair it, to, mm-hmm. you know, to reach out. It's that could, that's, that might be the hardest one of all sometimes, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, and maybe, empower yourself to energize yourself by first taking advantage of the sacraments, go to confession, pray, and then take that grace with you as you go and repair that relationship, or attempt to repair, to reach out at least. I'll be honest, it doesn't always work, but right. so it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's,
well, I think that can be a good segue sometimes to, you know, to a good New Year's resolution, which we all know are very difficult to keep, but, you know, yes. at least then it's not like it's January 2nd and you're like, I think I should have a New Year's resolution. Like, you might have been thinking about it for like a month now. And as someone who, I mean, my birthday is January 5th. It's literally the 12th day of Christmas.
Oh.
So I'm increasingly into the whole, like, the season of Christmas. And I know that's a whole other show,
yes.
but to really, you know, kind of have that as like a capstone, I oftentimes find myself just being more, if I do Advent right, I find myself more sort of predisposed to getting into the new year on the right foot, hopefully too.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So that seems like a good moment and a good opportunity to kind of take a break before we go into our picks of the week. But to kind of cap these great suggestions about preparing for Advent and serving others, and as part of that, there's a way that you can serve others, which is to help us continue to bring these podcasts to folks and to continue our ministry of exploring the intersection of faith and pop culture through shows like podcasts and like Let's Talk. And to that end, we're holding our, as you know, we're holding our giving campaign. I have to be honest, we're a little more than a month in, and we're not doing quite as well as I'd hoped. We're a little behind on our goal, and we really need folks to. We really appreciate those who've already pledged and become patrons at sqpn.com/give. I'm hopeful that if you're planning to be part of the campaign, that if you could come forward as soon as you can. I know it's a time of year when we're thinking about giving, and we are sometimes creating our budgets for what we're going to be giving. But if you enjoy these podcasts, if you think that they can be of value to others, if you could include SQPN in that process, prayerfully considering what you can give, if you go, we'd greatly appreciate it. I mean, the fact is if we don't reach the level of support that we need, the whole thing ends. Just quite honestly, doing this is a big project. We have all these shows. We're bringing in more shows. We have like shows that we're developing, which you're going to love, new voices, new topics. We got so much great stuff, and I would hate for that to not see the light of day. Because I know that there are folks out there who want to help us and can help us, and they just need a reminder or a call or that movement of the heart. to do so, the movement of the wallet to give us that support. We greatly appreciate it. We try to be good stewards as best we can with what you give us. We run a fairly lean operation for the amount of shows that we do with the audiences that we have. So if you could go to sqpn.com/give, we'd appreciate that. The other part is if you're doing your shopping online, Monday was Cyber Monday, but you know, these days people go online every day to do their Christmas shopping or any kind of shopping. And a lot of people go to Amazon. And as you know, a lot of people, if you go to smile.amazon.com and you select SQPN as the nonprofit to benefit, Amazon will give a small portion of what you spend to us. It doesn't cost you any extra. You pay the same price that you would normally. But it just a little bit goes to SQPN because you go there and you designated us. And we greatly appreciate that. We rely a big chunk of our budget comes from that. So if, you know, your support can grow even from besides your Patreon pledge, you can make an even bigger impact by going to smile.amazon.com. In fact, we have a link on our show, on our website. If you go to sqpn.com. And this on the right, you'll see a little box for something called Smile-O-Matic, and it's a browser extension for all the different browsers. That if you install that, it automatically, if you go to Amazon, it automatically makes sure that you're at smile.amazon.com, and thus whatever you purchase in that session is credited to us. So we, you know, whatever you can do, we greatly appreciate that. You know, we are very grateful to you for your support over all the years that we've been doing it. And we hope to be doing this for many more to come. So that's that said, we're now turning to our picks of the week. And this is our weekly tradition with Let's Talk. And although this is both of your first time, I've prepared you in advance to let you know to have something available. So, Mike, since you're the newest, too, I'm going to let you go first.
Yeah.
What is your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is a little book just came out, I think, the end of August by a man I'm a huge fan of, Dr. Peter Kraft from up your way, Dom, up at Boston College.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Dr. Peter Kraft's book, it's called Doors in the Walls of the World, Signs of Transcendence in the Human Story. It's kind of a long title.
Wow.
And it's only about 120 pages long. And he basically, if any of you know Dr. Peter Kraft and some of the work he's done, a lot of his sort of very brainy yet very accessible, I think, sort of philosophical musings, especially about society and culture and the faith and those sorts of things. He's of course, extremely well-read, and he brings up C.S. Lewis and Tolkien and all these great literary figures a lot. So in this book, I found it very interesting. It's a very summarized version of a lot of those things I've heard in a lot of his previous books and lectures. And he just is basically exploring the sort of, in one sense, the reductionist attitude we see so often around us today that just says, this thing in front of me is just what I'm seeing, and there's no glory, there's no wonder, there's no magic, you know, sort of behind it. He explores that versus, you know, the idea of doors in the walls of the world, as the title suggests, you know, that there's these moments of transcendence, moments of wonder, you know, where divinity touches, you know, our day-to-day humdrum lives. And it's just a very interesting read, I thought. So he's great, and I recommend that.
Excellent. Peter Kraft is, he has that particular gift, like C.S. Lewis, who he's written about before. But he has that particular gift to take a complex subject and make it accessible to a wide audience. So I would highly recommend this. Then I haven't read it yet myself. I'm going to pick it up.
Can I throw one more thing in real quick, just as a fun little side note? Because I met him one time. He was the keynote speaker at a men's conference in the Diocese of Harrisburg. And I was going to go anyway, but then I found out he was a speaker, and I was so excited. Never thought really I'd get to meet him. And before the event, and just the huge, like, everyone's checking in. There's, you know, thousands of people there. It's just this madhouse. And I sneak over to the Ignatius Press kind of book stand, and I'm just looking at books, and I just kind of turn and I look, and he's standing right next to me looking at books too. And I just, hey, Dr. Kraft, it's a real pleasure. Like, oh, thank you. And then I just, you know, it was just this completely, you know, random, you know, I happened to bump into him. I thought that was so cool.
That is awesome. Yeah.
There, of all places.
A book nerd, of course, as all good people are. So Father Michael, do you have a pick of the week for us?
I do. It's some more Advent music. I would say I didn't even really like Christmas music, let alone Advent music, for a long time, until I found some that I just liked to listen to, not necessarily church music. So there are two albums. One is called Advent Volume 1 by a band called The Brilliance out of New York City. And beautiful. It sounds like the season. It's mostly guitar and piano with some strings, just very sort of mellow. There's some Christmas music in there, just as a warning if you're trying to avoid that before it actually gets to Christmas. But Advent Volume 1 by The Brilliance is it's just gorgeous, and it's very meditative. They repeat a lot of phrases, so it's almost sort of a prayerful thing. And then alongside that, if I'm allowed, this is by an independent Catholic artist named Harrison Lemke, who lives in Texas, and he has an album that's just called Some Advent Songs. And it's not specifically religious or liturgical, but you can feel his Catholicism through everything. Speaking of Tolkien and people like that, it just soaks through. And so Harrison Lemke has some like really beautiful sort of lo-fi, very little production, but simple and straightforward meditations on winter and Advent and the whole season.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So my pick is not faith related, but it's sort of winter related. Could be. I have this. I'm going to hold this up so that the guys on the Skype can see it. This giant thing in my hand is a battery charger for your phone. Now, it comes in this case, and this thing is like a foot long and 6 inches wide, the case. And I'm going to open it up and take it out, and it's this big brick. I mean, this is big black brick. And what it is, it's called the Beat It, like Michael Jackson, Beat It, wireless charger and jump starter.
Oh, nice.
It comes with jump starter cables for your car. This is a 2,000 amp gas and diesel jump starter and a 21,000 milliamp hour wireless battery Qi charger. You know, so if you have one of those newer phones. So like if I have my phone and I just put it, you know, I turn it on and I put it up against this battery, it'll charge my phone. And it comes with a light and ports, and it comes with the jumper cables and everything. When I was seeing this, I got this for a review. I'm like, this thing is crazy. Like, why would I need this? When I realized a couple of things. One thing, it's not a bad idea to just keep it in your car, keep it charged.
Yeah.
It's compact enough that if you ever get in a situation where you need to jump your car, it's nice to have. And who doesn't need another like battery charger? I mean, your car can charge your phone, but like when I go camping with my family, my wife has her phone, I have my phone, and we've got our watches. Everything's got to be charged these days, and we found that like when we have our van, you know, we're turning the van on and running the van. It's not a good thing to, you know, to charge the stuff, leaving the car running. But this 21,000 milliamp hours, we could go for days charging our watches and phones on this. If you know, it's even got a compass in it. It's got a little compass. I'm not sure why.
Oh, nice.
When I would ever be in a situation where I needed this to tell me the direction, but it can do it. But it's actually, I mean, so it's really kind of an amazing little gadget. It's not cheap. It's $100, but it's a giant 21,000 milliamp hour battery. And in a pinch, you could club somebody with this in self-defense.
Yes.
I'm not recommending
self-defense.
Yeah, yeah. You could wield off the attackers while charging your phone. In all seriousness, there's really an amazing technology here. How they cram everything into this. And, you know, for someone who travels a lot, you know, is on the road a lot, or who goes camping and needs power in the backwoods, this is a really neat device. So I thought this would be my pick of the week and would be a cool Christmas present when, you know, before we get to that the day, if you're going to start doing your Christmas shopping. Mm. So I recommend that one.
It's a good one.
Yeah. So those are our picks of the week. And so I think that's it for us. Like I said, we're talking about Advent here. We're going to talk about Christmas in the coming weeks. Stay tuned, stay subscribed to that. So that's it from us. What do you think of what we had to say about Advent? Give us your recommendations if there's anything that you do for Advent or particular music that you like. You know, let us know. We'll talk about it in a future episode. You can email us at letstalk@sqpn.com. Or visiting the SQPN.com website or the SQPN Facebook page, find the link to today's show there and then leave a comment underneath. Or you could send us a tweet at SQPN and all the various places. You can find links to our show and to all of the things we discussed in the show notes at SQPN.com. Remember to like Let's Talk episodes on Facebook, retweet us on Twitter, leave us comments, subscribe. If you have not yet subscribed, subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, your favorite podcast app, or YouTube. And if you subscribe on YouTube, where we do it as an audio-only video, hit the bell to get notifications when we upload a new episode, and share the podcast with your friends. That's how we get the news out there about it. That's how we grow our community and reach more listeners. And so we would appreciate it if you would help us with that. So we'll be back next week where Father Corey will be sitting in the host chair again. We'll have another topic. I'm not sure what the topic is yet, but we'll have something fun and cool. Until then, Father Michael Gossett, thank you for joining me on Let's Talk.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
And Mike Creevy, thank you as well.
Yep. Thank you.
And once again, I'm Dom Bettinelli. Thank you for listening to Let's Talk on StarQuest, and happy Advent. This is Don Bettinelli again. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast and that you'll help us keep producing the podcasts you love. Thank you for your generosity. To make your pledge and find out about the free thank you gifts we'd like to send you, visit sqpn.com/give. That's sqpn.com/give.